Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
You know, Mike, we've been dealing with this COVID-19 for a while now.
It's been a minute.
We've been dealing with it for a while now.
And I may have heard of that thing a while ago.
There's certain times that I think, you know, we should be further along with certain things. I mean, I think that's your that's
hover cars.
Yeah. Well, yes, living underwater, time travel,
returning dinosaurs
yes.
to the earth,
being able to fly.
All of those things.
Yeah. All of these things. But you know, obviously, you know, with COVID-19, us dealing with this every day, you would think that by now, it would be much easier to buy hand sanitizer that doesn't smell like the cheapest vodka you've ever had in your life that takes you back to one night in college where you go, oh my God, I can still smell the bar. I was sick for 3 days. I mean, why does so much hand sanitizer have to smell like the worst vodka you've ever had?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, that's now a movie we will be writing called One Night in College. Patent pending. As for the smell, I unfortunately have been mostly without my smell sense for a good year now.
Okay.
I get a little bit here and there. I got sick about a year ago, and unfortunately, I get a couple hours where I can smell everything, and it's at a hypersensitivity, and I hate the world at that moment.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, I've got my sense of taste and everything else. But yeah, I can't smell the cheap liquor aspect that you're talking about. But I do know that everybody's getting a good markup because even those little bottles are running about $3.50, kind of like you're buying a mini bottle of vodka at a liquor store.
It's I don't understand why. And I feel like this is something that's somewhat new because I remember the first few months of you know, using hand sanitizer as much, there wasn't as much of it. Like you use regular hand sanitizer and it was okay. And some hand sanitizer smells like cherry blossom. Some smells medicine-y, but okay. But now I feel like, you know, you go to certain places and or you whatever you buy in the store that's right there because you see it, you grab like three or four things of it and it just smells like really cheap alcohol.
And well, I wonder, mean,
is this anything but
place?
Did someone just take a bottle of vodka and just pour it in and go, yep, there you go. Okay, right there. And pour it in. Yep, there you go. And we're going to disperse out this bottle of vodka in $4 increments.
It's not a bad solution when you really think about it, but because then it has multiple purposes. If the weight of the world is a little much, hey, I'm not seeing anybody. I don't need that hand sanitizer. All right. Mini cocktail for one. But the idea...
I think back when I was younger, when I used to drink anything at a bar, oh, there's a special on it, give it to me. Y'all, this vodka is awful. Ah, it's just going to burn my tongue. And that's what it smells like.
I've always been bougie that way. I don't drink a lot, so when I do, I go quality. But I think part of it is also you try to ramp up production on the level here. What happens when people need to fulfill orders quickly?
Yeah.
They scale down in quality.
Oh, yeah.
So here you could still claim it's whatever percent killing off germs and slap the label on it and away you go. And I see the bins all over the place of the mini bottles, right? The ones that you put in your pocket as you're out and about or leave in your center console of your car. And that's running about $4 a pop. Whereas I think if we went back in the time machine to December, you probably used to be able to buy those for what, half? A third of what they cost now, but trying to keep up with demand, you know, you're going to sacrifice a little bit or in some cases a lot in quality. And I'm sorry it's so detrimental to your olfactory system. That's the problem.
It brings you back to that time in your life. Like I remember one time when I had a Pabst Blue Ribbon about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm like, oh my God, it's 1988 again. Oh, wow. I can't believe
don't
I'm
you wish
this.
It was 1988 again?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey.
Where Bobby Bonilla was roaming.
No, we didn't have Bobby Bonilla then. No, that's when we blew that series to the Dodgers.
Oh, no. He was still in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about the trading
card. When David Cone flapped his gums and Davey Johnson left Dwight Gooden in to pitch to Mike Socha. Yeah, no, 88 was what? 88 was bad. 88 was bad.
Dodger fans are hoping they can recreate 1988 here in short order.
Yeah, well, it's been a minute since they won. But outside of baseball, there are two people who obviously listened to the show last night. Mike is back now after taking a couple of days off, gone on a rafting trip, hanging out shirtless on Urban Meyer's boat.
You got to make it nice for the people.
No, look, hey, you get some time off. You go do you, man. That's what you have to do. You go do you. That's how it works.
You know, I'm such a powerful and attractive individual. The camera and the microphone will find me no matter where I go.
Guy's got purple shorts on. That's got to be Harmon. The first person listening to the show is Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day. It was last night on the show last night was a tough night. We were talking about college football potentially not having a season in the fall as the Big Ten and the Pac-12 postpone their seasons to the spring. And one of the questions we talked about was, oh, look, people are all wondering, how are they going to pull this off? You can't play in the spring. You're going to play a full season, and then you're going to play in the fall a few months later. It's not going to work. Well, hang on a second. Spring is a very loose interpretation. Spring doesn't mean they're going to play at the end of March and go all the way to June.
Well, but that's it. But when you go to the definitional, when does spring start?
Yeah.
Well, the end of March.
Yeah, but spring is going to wind up being just after the new year, and they're going to play sometime from January. They're going to play maybe 8 or 9 games is what you play. No one says you have to play a full slate. You have to play 12 games. Look, they want to play 10 games in the fall. Maybe they try to play 10 games, but you start shortly after the new year and you play in the spring, you can have a full season. You can have a split national champion. You have the national champion in the fall. You have the national champion in the spring. You can have both those things, and it will be a college football season that will never fret because it's going to stretch from September all the way until April. It's going to be amazing because, as we said at the top of the show, now with Dabo Swinney today basically stoking the fires of the fall season's the real national champion and the spring season isn't, if they play in the fall, there is no way they don't play in the spring. They will play. We will get, if college football is played in September, we will get college football in January. There's no way they can play in the fall and then those teams and those schools not play in the spring. Even if they don't want to, and some presidents of schools, they don't want to, they will have to play. They will have to play, or they will ruin college football. They will ruin these schools. The players are going to want to transfer. Trust me. If we get it, if they were able to pull it off in the fall, we're going to get it in the spring. We're going to get that kind of season. And what kind of season will we get? Like I said, in the spring, it could start right after the first of the year, 8 or 9 games, then have the playoffs. We said it last night, and today, that's exactly what Ohio State head coach Ryan Day had to say. Let's hear from
him. I think that starting, the first week of January would be the best way to go. An 8-week season, and that way there is some separation between that season and the next season. Allow some of the mid-year guys to come in and possibly, play a 2-for-1. They get 2 seasons in 1 calendar year, which, the recruits, I think, would be really excited about.
There you go, Mike. Apparently, he listened to the show and said, yep, I'm going to go in and say that the next day, because that's exactly what we said last night.
Well, it's a good sell. They'd be really excited about it. I don't know how excited they'd be. Physically, I think you're asking for trouble there. For the short term, I think most of your higher level players that are coming back that are draft eligible, and this is one where I think all bets are off. Any of the rules can be suspended for a year, much like we've done in Major League Baseball by changing up, 7-inning doubleheaders, here's the DH full-time, you're welcome, Rockies. All of this coming into play that for the NFL, college football, all of this you could look at going, all right, transfers, you want to go because you want to play in the fall where they're playing, have at it. Find someone that'll have you. If you want to leave early, again, you're 18 plus. That whole argument I've been making for 20 years, have at it. Start getting ready for the combine and roll. But you get to the spring, and if it's legitimately starting in January, you're going to have players ready to go. Part of me is still the, all right, if we're going to kick the can down the road, what's better in January? Because you had 5 months here that you thought it was going to be better. So if you're thinking you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you had plenty of time to plan for this now in terms of your safety protocols, where you didn't have, I guess, closure would have been from the liability standpoint. And I'm sure you and Steve hammered that last night. You can find the podcast up at Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, FoxSportsRadio.com, wherever you get your audio, rip it down, give it five stars. We'll love you forever. There's no question about it. I just think a lot of the top guys are going to say, you know what, I'm going to the draft if we're getting into the spring, and just say, all right, I'm hiring my trainer, I'm getting ready for pro days and everything else. You've got tape on me, right? If you're going draft, you've already got at least a full year in most cases of guys that would be taking this option of saying, all right, here's my film already. I'm done. I'm going to go get my combine numbers and get rolling, because there's no way I can go through even an abbreviated NCAA season and then try to come right back in and be a contributor in the fall. There's no redshirt seasons in the National Football League. So I don't know that all the top talent would still be on board for playing in the spring. But you know what? The jerseys are still going to be sold, and the fans are still going to have their novelty hats and their face paint on and be ready for whomever the next man up is. And I think that's the ultimate angle for sports in 2020. Next man up.
That's going to happen. Some players are going to say no, but it'll be like players going to a bowl game. It's not going to be everybody. It'll be some stars. But if Justin Fields decides I'm not going to play, okay, somebody else is going to play quarterback for Ohio State. And they're still going to be really good, and we're still going to watch. It's going to happen that way. The other person who obviously listened to the show last night was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Because after Giannis decided to headbutt Mo Wagner, very upset, a previous trip down the floor, he was called for a charge. A trip before that, Wagner kind of gave him a kind of a cheap shot from behind under the basket. Giannis decides to headbutt Mo Wagner. Now, normally you headbutt somebody, that's a multiple game suspension. That's a big deal. Yeah, no way. Last night we said it was going to be one game, because there's no way Adam Silver is going to get involved in this controversy and suspend him for the first game of the playoffs. They have one game left Thursday night, and they were going to suspend him for that game, and he was going to be free to play when they start their first round series against Orlando. Adam Silver is never going to do anything to make the players mad at him, and he's just walking around today going, thank goodness he did it today and not Thursday. Then I would have had to suspend him for the first game, and then, oh my goodness, players are not going to like me. We said that was going to happen, and that's exactly what happened today. Adam Silver suspends Giannis for one game. He's going to sit tomorrow for the headbutt. He was very apologetic after. I'm sure that helped his cause as well, and there was a pre-existing play that caused that to happen. It wasn't something that came out of nowhere. All of that into account, it was going to be a one-game suspension. Giannis will play in the playoffs. The last thing they want is to get the Bucks off on a bad foot. They get upset in the first round, and suddenly, oh, Giannis might not make it out of the Eastern Conference. Oh, this is going to suck for us trying to sell a big superstar in the East. Oh, like, this is going to be really, really difficult. Can we take all those posters with Giannis on and put Fred Van Vliet's picture on it? You think that's going to work for us? So exactly what we said was going to happen today.
I think it's pretty weak when it's all said and done. You've had a guy who's been a hothead a couple of times during this bubble situation. Someone needs to give him a hug. He needs to get his family in there pretty fast. But it was an egregious move, right? I mean, watch that replay repeatedly. It's like, what are we doing? You're not Zidane. You're not one of these guys on the soccer pitch. We were watching a little bit of a match yesterday where guys were forearm shivering guys left and right, and everybody kind of chuckled. You know, you still have to pretend. You got to do some more than take your notes from Rob Manfred as to how you punish people. I mean, there's still something to this that should have been more than a game. But I understand, protect the product, protect the MVP. He just looked like a dope in it. No matter how apologetic he was, he's had a couple of these run-ins, and he needs to grow up, because guys are going to keep bumping him and trying to push him over, because he's shown that you can get under his skin pretty easy. So if I'm the Magic, come the playoff series, poke the bear repeatedly. You know, I'm running out the guys from the back of the bench, seeing if you can get him to come back on you again. And then we'll see what kind of guts Adam Silver has then.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I even got Zoe saying that now, because, you know, we've watched all the Rocky movies. She loves them. And we even talk about that when someone wants to come in and, oh, you know, we do the air hugs now, obviously, because of COVID-19. We go, oh, air hugs. And Zoe will always go, awkward Rocky and Apollo hug. She just says that under her breath now.
Like they didn't know what to do in that scene.
Awkward Rocky and Apollo hug. Hey, speaking of awkward, let's bring in Dan Wojcicki.
Yeah.
LA Times, NBA insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wojcicki Sports. It's at Dan Wojcicki Sports. He is the man who stole Mark Stein's rice pudding in the bubble. What's happening, Dan?
So, guys, you know, I, too, have a child, and we've been watching the Rocky movies together, and it's the craziest thing. My son, 13 months old, his first words were from Rocky. He looked at me one morning and said, "If he dies, he dies."
Was he looking at you when he said that, or was he?
Yeah, he looked me right in the eyes. Is that it?
That's the best.
He tapped my wife on the shoulder. 13 months old, never spoke a word before.
You immediately went and called the Exorcist.
He did it in a Russian accent. Was like the craziest thing.
Was it really his first words? If he dies, he dies.
I like that.
Oh my goodness!
I think he's gotten 80% of doggy out. I think he's like, "Daddy."
Oh,
like,
okay.
But you know,
that's good.
Like Drago in round 17.
Oh, because my daughter really embarrassed me at school. Right before COVID-19 ended, we were taking pictures, and there's one line from Rocky II that she knows is my favorite. And we're all getting together, her and her friends are all taking pictures together. We're getting all together, and the parents going, "Okay, get together," and I just go, "Hey, Zoe, how about everybody get together for one picture?" And she goes, "This looked like a circus to you, man." And I go, "Oh, wow."
Nice.
She gave me the Apollo line.
She's going to defeat you.
Yeah, she will. But, hey, good to see that Dan Wojcicki is doing the right thing with his kids and showing them Rocky at an early age. I mean, that's the right way to bring them up. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. The heart's on fire is the lullaby every night.
Oh, nice. As you're on the Stairmaster.
Yeah, you can buy the kids' version, the xylophones and stuff of all your classic rock bands.
Is there like a Kids Bop Rocky soundtrack? Is that what we're
I don't know that
at?
They have the Rocky soundtrack, but I know I used Aerosmith on my younger.
Oh, there's Metallica. I remember Zoe listened to the Ramones.
Little Zeppelin.
Yeah. It's all
So I'm going to fail my son in probably 7 out of 10 ways.
Okay.
I think
you're still a Hall of Famer, though. You're batting 3 out of 10.
Exactly. One of the three ways I believe in which I will succeed him is that since a very young age, he has listened to good music. Like, we've made, like, largely a point to, like, or I have made largely a point, because it's, like, this weird thing. Like, I have these memories of my father, like, sitting on his lap listening to, like, records and stuff like that. And my dad has very bad taste in music, you know, in hindsight, like a lot of like REO Speedwagon and stuff like
How
that.
How dare you?
Yeah, but Milwaukee's own. You know, like the Stray Cats, like some odd stuff. But it's like something I always remembered. So it was something like after one of the first things I did after we had the baby was like before we set up a college account, like I made like a really long, like I'm a cool dad playlist. And like I make him sit and listen to music with me. Yeah.
Oh, what you learn about Dan Wojcicki here as the bubble really and COVID-19 quarantine month 4 really moves on. Hey, so a lot of big stuff to get to, Dan. Obviously, tonight we watched the Clippers win. It looked like they had things going on. Now we know it's official. They're going to draw the Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs. Clippers, or is this going to be a dangerous series for them?
I mean, I think Dallas is a dangerous team, but, you know, the Clippers have played them 3 times. They've beaten them 3 times. Kawhi Leonard has been a problem in all 3 of those games. Paul George didn't play in one of them. Do I think, like, the Clippers sweep? I don't. But, like, this could be a five-game series, I would say. I mean, that's, like, the cop-out, right, is whenever you have to pick a series, you just always say 6 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, that's the easy
sure.
pick. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I think defensively Dallas isn't up to, I think, the task of stopping the Clippers, and the Clippers, defensively, I think one locked in can slow down the Mavericks offense enough. Dallas has a tremendous offense. Well, I think figuring out, you know, how healthy Seth Curry is, that matters to Dallas. And if Dwight Powell was playing in all of this, and maybe he's a little bit of a different series, because he is a pretty important player, really good pairing, actually, with Kristaps Porzingis as sort of like a true center. But ultimately, I just think like the Clippers are just more equipped to win this series. That being said, you know, I still, and we've talked about this, I'm still like team, like, I think things are going to get weird. And I'm not 100%, like, obviously, you don't know where they are. You know, like, would it shock me if the Clippers and the Lakers don't end up playing in the conference finals? No, it would not shock me. I might take the field. It would make me sad. I would maybe take the field just sort of out of a belief that I think it's just for things to go chalk. It feels like such a long shot.
Just feels like one of those years where
Undefeated. Like Phoenix is undefeated there. I mean, like, you know, like all these things that we thought we knew, it's Brooklyn is frisky despite having, you know, of this sort of like summer league select vibe, you know, the team where they send all the G League guys who aren't on actual teams. Like, that's essentially how the Nets are playing, it feels like. And you know, they played very well and gotten some good wins. It's just too hard, I think, to make any, like, concrete stuff. I feel like if you're the Clippers, you put yourself in as good of a position as possible. You're playing a team that you've beaten three times, and you're going to have a week or so to get ready, a little less than a week to get ready for them. I wrote this in a column last week about the Lakers. You know, I mean, one of the disadvantages that they're in is, like, they could still play, like, one of four teams, and they don't know who it is, and they're not going to know potentially until Sunday.
Well, that allows us to get Stay Hungry and, you know, from the Rocky soundtracks as you go trying to get to that 8 seed. Now, Giannis got his one-game suspension.
Yeah.
So he just misses the final tune-up game. They've got nothing to play for anyway. Did they get this right? I mean, yes, you protect the brand by not having him miss a playoff game, but should it have been more?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think, look, like Mo Wagner is a pesky player, and I'm sure when reviewing the game in total, I'm sure they saw a couple grabs, a couple trips, a couple of hard fouls and stuff like that. I also think that Giannis probably does himself some favors in the immediacy of the game and kind of how instantly it wasn't like that guy had it coming to him or anything like that. It was, you know, I mean, I believe, you know, if I could turn back time, was what he said. Like,
yeah, he went share.
I got really strong share vibes from him. If I could turn back time, if I could go back to that play, I'd take back that head bet that I gave you, Mo Wagner, and then I'd say.
Well done. Well done. No, Jason did some Steve Perry riffing earlier.
I did, yes.
How you got this in? We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so big night for curly brunettes on the show. Steve Perry a little more straight, but I does feather out a little bit when it gets blocked.
Yeah, it was the 80s. There were no rules.
Yeah, I think a one game felt right. Like, look, I thought it was a suspension, like a no-doubt suspension. It was either one or two games. You know, if Giannis misses the first game against the Bucks, I don't think that's disastrous. But, like, this isn't a guy with, like, a tremendous track record either. And typically the league takes that stuff into account.
So the big question, have you gotten your ballots in the mail for the bubble awards? Like, I mean, how is these going to be made out here?
Thankfully, as a I think we can. We might be able to vote on these awards because they don't seem real.
Okay.
Like,
sure.
It seems like they're just kind of like it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do Coach of the Year, too. Let's do Most Improved in the Bubble, too, the MIB.
Yeah.
I think it's been something that I like that they're doing it because I do feel like, you know, this was such a unique 2 weeks that, like, kind of – it reminds me sort of like an all-tournament team from, like, a Christmas tournament in the high school basketball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, don't forget, sure, they won McDonald's tournament MVP. Oh, that's right. It was first team.
Yeah, it has a little bit of a vibe like that. But, like, look, like, if the Phoenix Suns make the playoffs and get swept by the Lakers, which, like, they probably should and very well might, if that happens, like, I think it'd be nice for Devin Booker to you know, be all bubble – first team to, like, it'd be fun in 15 years to look back at this and be able to say, oh, these were the guys, like, certainly, like, putting what Damian Lillard did on a pedestal, I would assume he will be the bubble MVP, I would guess. I suppose it could be TJ Warren. I suppose it could be the aforementioned Devin Booker. I would probably vote for Damian Lillard. I mean, he scored 190 points the last two games.
There's going to be a lot of controversy. Wow, look at this controversy that's going to be there. Oh,
yeah.
My.
But yeah, no, I think it's like, it's fine. You know, look, the coach of the year one is the coach of the bubble is the easiest vote maybe in NBA history. It better be Monty Williams. I can't think of anybody else who would be, but I like it. I think it's kind of a fun little thing. And like I said, I mean, I hope, and look, if you're the league and if you can slap Kia in front of something, like, good for them.
You can pick up revenue wherever you can. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter at Dan Wojcie Sports. That's at Dan Wojcie Sports. You asked for REO Speedwagon. We'll give you a little keep on rolling.
I didn't ask for it, guys. That was not a request.
No, you mentioned REO Speedwagon. You get REO Speedwagon. I mean, right. With a little bit of Ivan Drago over the top. That's how it works.
All right, guys. I gotta run. I got to go hang out with my robot butler.
Yeah, listen.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
Or go watch Cabin in the Woods, because that's what this song reminds me of. Well, take it easy, buddy.
No. All right, bye, guys.
All right.
See you, Dan.
Oh, yeah. I'll never hear the song again without thinking of that scene in Cabin in the Woods.
Oh,
it's
no, that's
unbelievable.
Fantastic.
They're all drinking beer and she's fighting for her life and they're watching her on the screen. Oh, that's the best. On Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And she's got a chain wrapped around his neck and he's choking her out and she's going to die. And they're all drinking going, hey, we did it. Oh, it doesn't matter what happens now. Yeah, we're all good. I just did a whole thing with myself.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
You know, action is ending tonight. You know, I'm here in the studio tonight as Mike and I are going to record our new special teams podcast after the show. Now is a time where myself and Tyshirt and Lee DeLapp are all arguing over what we can put on the television sets now that everything is done.
Now the games are done.
Yeah, now it's done. And the big thing is that, you know, we got the four TVs. So I said, okay, what about these two? And I said, we got Roadhouse on one. And we have Yesterday on the other one. It's not co-play. It's not Fix You. And I said, then the other one.
That's not one. I mean, that's not a visual movie.
What is it? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, it is. He's got the big songs at the end and he's singing.
Yeah, yeah, but there's not all sorts of special effects and fights and whatever else. That's what you need when you're in the studio with no sound.
Yeah, no, but to have one, you know, I kind of like Yesterday. I'm not saying
it's a bad film for the sake of the film, but. Just saying, you know, you want the smorgasbord of visuals. That's not it.
And that's okay because the other TV, one of the TVs, they're going back and forth. They're turning them on. It's going back and forth between The Firm and Mega Python versus Gatoroid, which is Debbie Gibson and Tiffany. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, they're going back and forth. Do I want to watch The Firm? Do I want to put
show,
on
Tiffany?
Yeah, I want to put on Mega Python versus Gatoroid. You know, which one do we want? So that's the big debate to pull the curtain back for you going on.
I almost
right now.
Feel like we need to catch up with her at some point.
Oh, we do. It's been a couple of years since we talked to her, since we had Tiffany
it's been
on.
A minute.
We had Tiffany and Weird Al on. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's Al.
Hey, it's
some of the greatest hits. For a quick moment, we had Dan Wojcie, LA Times, on last hour. Just want to give a nod to our buddy, his colleague. And I worked with him on Sundays, friend of the show, Bill Plaschke, wrote an article for the LA Times talking about his experience actually having COVID-19. So it's a good read, a good look through and, you know, storytelling as only Plaschke can do with the random references. When you describe it as LeBron James sitting on your chest, you know, you've really set the tone. So, good thoughts to him and all those that have battled it or are out there working through it. And trying to keep the country moving. We love you.
And Bill Plaschke is my second best friend. It's how he likes to be introduced when he comes on the show.
Right.
You know, you're my best friend. And he says, can I be your second best friend? So we say it that way. It's my second best friend.
I reached out to him tonight. He's on the mend, enjoying, you know, getting to watch some Dodger baseball and the like. But, you know, just always a reminder, it touches close to home. Bill and I keep in touch and, you know, we have him on the show time to time. As the Los Angeles stuff warrants, he's got to be on the mend if we're going to get a Lakers Clippers series because we'll need to have him in to inject some flames to that. So, but his article is up as well as the profile on Jimmy Goldstein from Dan Wojcie.
All right, very good. Get better, Bill. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, great stuff. Thanks, Mike. Today, there was a shocking story out of Dallas and one that was a really good story out of Dallas. And Jerry Jones is at the front of both of these stories. The first one involves the national anthem debate, which shocked me because I don't understand what Jerry Jones is trying to say. He was asked about what he was going to do and what the Cowboys are going to do this fall when it comes to the national anthem, where most of the players are going to kneel. They're going to kneel for Black Lives Matter. They're going to kneel to support black men who are not treated the way they should be in police custody. This is something that's been going on for a long time. Many players who don't want to kneel will kneel in support of their teammates. This is no longer really a controversy. This is not the hot button topic it was 2 years ago. This is now in a changed world. Yes, if your players want to kneel, players should be able to kneel without having to worry about getting any flack on it. And if players want to kneel to support them, great. If players don't want to kneel, that's kind of okay,
too.
Those
are the guys that are getting the flack.
Right, but that's kind of okay, too, as we've seen. Hey, if you don't kneel, you have reasons why, you talk about it. This is the choice, to kneel or not to kneel. You can't say, oh, I'm pro-kneeling, and then say, oh, but why are you not kneeling? That's not right. No, it's for either person to be able to do. You can kneel, you cannot kneel. This is not really that big a deal, but Jerry Jones, in talking about it today, suddenly turned it into one. Try to make sense of what he's saying.
The key word is a word called grace. That was then, 2 years ago. This is now. We have had very, very sensitive times. I have nothing to prove as far as where I'm standing with the flag and where the Cowboys stand. I have nothing to prove regarding my players and my support of our players. What I do want to show and want us all to be a part of is a word called grace. Not only grace in our actions, but grace in our understanding where they're coming from.
And I also just watched the That Was Then, This Is Now, the Estevez movie from 85 with the kid from the program and the one from NYPD Blue. So I watched That Was Then, This Is Now, figured that was a good way for me to start this statement. I confused you at all?
I start singing I'm Still Standing.
I'm Still Standing. I don't know why Jerry Jones is being this cagey and this wrapped up in grace and what he's doing. If he's not going to kneel, okay. All right, because don't wrap it up in, oh, we got to make sure the team does. Let the players do what they want to do. All right, it doesn't. Let you do what you want to do. The players are going to do what they want to do. And no one's going to come to your doorstep the next day and go, what the hell are you doing? I mean, I know Jerry Jones knows President Trump. He also has talked to other former presidents. He's talked to other owners. What do you think about what's going on? And they have to be telling him, dude, what do you mean? The players are going to kneel. Let them kneel. They're going to kneel, and we're going to go play football, and it's not going to be a story. I don't get what you're talking about. Are you worried about lesser television ratings? Are you worried about people are going to say, if you don't want to kneel, okay. If the Dallas Cowboys kneel and Jerry Jones is in his box and he's not kneeling, no one's going to sit here and say, okay, well, headline number one, first day of the NFL, Jerry Jones not kneeling. No one's going to do that. But yet he's playing it out like this is still a really big deal. And as a result, he's doing the worst possible thing. And that's turning this into a story again. Now it's, wait a minute, Jerry Jones, why don't you want to kneel? I don't understand. Why don't you want to kneel? What's going on with this? Why would you want to make this into a thing? Why would you want to make this about the ego Jerry Jones has? Why would you want to make this about you? I don't understand why, but yet he's determined to do it because and this is where I shake my head and go, come on, Jerry Jones, be better than this. If you want to fold in your not wanting to kneel and get the players to do something that you want them to do so you wind up looking right, that, come on, man, be a better person than that. Just own it. If you don't want to kneel, own it. If you want to kneel, own it, but let the players do what they want to do.
Yeah, and I get, he had to address it because it's been talked about for months of, well, Jerry hasn't said anything, and remember his stance when this all first started. So a couple of new players called him out, you know, waiting for a public response. So this was his first foray and first check-in on the microphone as we get to the new league year, right? He's been silent to where you and I a couple of weeks ago were wondering, hey, what are we going to hear from him? I hope he's okay. Figured we would have gotten a YouTube series out of him with some cooks or something like he was Selena Gomez. But we got nothing. until now. I got Selena Gomez into the show. Point for me. But you now have this long statement that really is a whole lot of nothing. I know he had to speak on it, just check a box, if nothing else. But it's a behind closed door. And even then, you could have said it far more eloquently and with a brief statement of, it's between me and my team. We'll see you on the, you know, for game one. And hopefully we'll have a crowd. And then that's a Vegas misdirect, because then you start talking about the crowd and what you'll have, you know, there in Dallas for game attendance. So you could have gone that way. Instead, it's still a, all right, so you have a plan? Do you not have a plan? Is it still in motion? What are you going to do versus the team? And I think you're spot on. The team's going to do what it's going to do. And Jerry's either in the owner's box or he does as he's done in the past and takes the knee, you know, as that symbolic gesture with the team. Either way, we won't be hearing any statements like we had last time. As jumbled as this is, there's really no critiquing it other than going, I don't know what he just said, but okay.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Just do your thing. I don't know why you'd want to do this, Jerry Jones. Now, the other thing that he talked about today, I love the idea. In the days preceding, we've seen a couple of teams say we're planning on playing without fans this year. Lambeau Field has already said, hey, Packers should be ready to play without fans. But Jerry Jones says, oh, no, Cowboys, we're going to have some people.
We've got some adjustments to make. We're going to make them with enthusiasm, and we're going to make them with can-do. The Dallas Cowboys plan on playing all of our football games, and we plan on playing it in front of our fans.
And that is a great idea, because as long as you do it the right way, I think everybody should have fans. If you can have fans where you can say, you know what, let's let sports show the way here. We're going to open our stadium and we're going to have 20% of our tickets sold so everybody can social distance the right way. Everybody wears masks when they get into a crowded area with somebody. You probably don't have to wear your mask while you're watching the game because you're far enough away from people. But to do it like that and have fans, yeah. Let's let sports and let the Cowboys and other teams show everybody the way of this is how you have crowds. Because I like that better than Smash Mouth in front of, you know, thousands of people saying, oh, it doesn't matter what we do. Let's do songs. Yeah, wait, now we're an all-star.
Getting that Sturgis reference in.
You know, because all that's doing is you're putting a bunch of people that don't believe in social distancing together where they can pass COVID-19 to each other. I mean, that's just stupid. But people, because everybody who does that and goes to that concert doesn't care about social distancing or wearing masks, because if you did, you wouldn't do that. So let's show everybody the right way to do it. Let's have fans in. Let's show you can do it. We can have 15,000 people in a 50 or 60,000 seat stadium, and we can do it safely. And people are on their own behavior to wear, just like you're going into a store. All right, it's the same philosophy of, hey, I'm going to go into a store to buy something. I'm wearing my mask. Everybody else is wearing a mask, and I'm going to go and do my thing and not touch my face and not shake hands with anybody. It's just how you do it every day, right? We have to go. You want to go to a game? You have the right rules? Yeah. Let sports show the way for that. That's an awesome thing. I love this idea from Jerry Jones, and I hope that other teams, when they get comfortable with it, allow fans to come. Because as soon as one team does it, if say the Dallas Cowboys do it week one, let's say that goes on, you're going to see all the other sports say, yep, we can have fans. And we're gonna have it next week, because that'll happen really fast, because suddenly this is money in our pocket. This is not going to be a 3 or 4 week thing. This is going to be, hey, we're going to have fans. It's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to do it. We're going to have it. That's the worst part for Major League Baseball, is that if the NFL played preseason games and they are able to do it and it worked out, baseball could say, we could have fans. But baseball's having enough trouble right now with COVID-19 and their teams, so it doesn't look like, it's not a great optic for them to say, yeah, we're still figuring out with our teams, but hey, fans can show up. That doesn't work out well for them. But if football can do it, oh, go do it, man. Show everybody you can. People can go to college football games and show we can do it the right way and still kind of get back to what the new normal is going to be, but we do it the right way and the smart way. And there's nothing wrong with doing things the smart way.
Well, I've been arguing all along that baseball could have done it as a reward for their season ticket holders, right? Here's your catered meal, and you have your section or your box or whatever, and that's it. And then you disinfect, lather, rinse, repeat. That way you keep that goodwill with folks that normally pump money into your system, right? And it's a special event, right? Maybe you got 500 people spread around the ballpark. Same thing, but as we go to football, I think it's the Ravens were saying 7,500 people. I think that's down from their original estimate of 15,000. But either way, still planning for, all right, how do we get people into the facility so we at least have a little bit of that fan interaction and that enthusiasm that can't be pumped in quite so easily. Sorry, Falcons, it was fake and you got caught. but it's just the idea of, all right, let's be innovative, right? Let's be bold but smart. And it's what we preached, and certainly I've been yelling about here on the station, as you have, and across the network, of life moves forward, right? We got to find best practices. There are going to be instances where you say, okay, this can't work. But that's not how we operate as people, and certainly this country. It's normally the, all right, how do we innovate? How do we move forward? And how do we find best practices? Steal from Fight Island, steal from the WWE, from the MLS's back tournament that just finished. Baseball talking about maybe a bubble for the playoffs. So you can, in theory, stop what happened thus far with the Marlins and the Cardinals and what blew holes into all these schedules. And you know, you saw with Cleveland, a couple of guys getting out on the town in Chicago. Plesac, what are you doing? Clevinger, you're killing me.
His teammates hate him. The Indians all hate him.
No, but that's just it. You've disrupted, you know, that social contract because everybody else bought in saying, look, we'll get paid. The game will go on. We'll have our couple months. We'd already been home for 4 months. Now we have we play our shortened season. Maybe we get a shot at a title with the expanded playoffs and finish. And guys, you know, blew holes in that. Now for the Marlins, it looks like one big rope-a-dope because they're playing well in the games that they've actually played. We'll see how many of their arms hold up when they've got to make these games up towards the end. But I like the idea of fans getting into the stands. You know, we've seen innovation. Denver had those cool sanitizer mists that they got to walk through to get out on the practice field. Whatever it takes, right? You know, if you got to put those in at the limited stations that you're opening up to allow fans to come through, I'll donate a couple of those scanner thermometer things for beaming at people's heads if that's going to help move the needle here, man. Let's go.